Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sean Cook, and you're listening to the Higher Ed Life and Career Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Sean Cook, and I'm a career coach from Athens, Georgia. Today is Friday, July 2nd, 2010. And our topic today is Healer, Heal Thyself. And we're going to be talking about how helping professionals sometimes have difficulty helping themselves. I do have, again, with me today my periodic co-hosts, Dennis Charles, and we'll have Mickey Fitch also joining us shortly. And then we're going to have a guest, Susan from BizSavvyTherapist.com. She's someone who helps businesses learn, therapists learn more about how to be effective businessmen and marketers. Let's see if we've got Dennis on the line. Hey, Dennis, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, good. Yeah, I heard you there a few minutes ago when I was kind of still checking in, but it seems you were doing stuff. So, how's life?
Life's great. Yeah, life's a little busy. Had a little bouncing baby boy a couple of weeks ago, but he's doing great. Mum's doing great, and yeah, life's good. Thanks. And how you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And for those of you who don't remember, Dennis was going to be on the show a couple weeks ago, and basically you had a little false start, I guess, with the new baby, huh? And you had to bag out on the show, but we're glad to have you here because that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yep, it was exciting times.
Now this is number 5 for you. You said
it's our 5th. Yeah, yeah. I think it may be our 5th and last. I think we're going to draw the line here.
Well, I bet you have a lot of fun at your house.
Yeah, there's never a dull moment, that's for sure.
Oh, great. Well, we've got another caller on the line. I believe it's going to be Mickey. Let's pick her up, see how she's doing today. Hey, are you there?
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dennis. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Mickey. Good to hear from you. How have you been?
I'm good. I'm good. Congratulations. I just heard you had a new arrival there.
Thank you ever so much. Yeah, yeah, little baby boy, Xander Charles, born about two and a half weeks ago now. Yeah.
Outstanding. Very cool.
Yeah. It's a big change for anybody, obviously. Hey, a big truck's going by my window. Can you hear that? Fun times. Good times. Well, I'm excited to have both of you on the show again. Been trying to build a pretty regular rotation of, interesting guest personalities, and I think you're both interesting.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
That's very kind of you, Sean. Thank you.
Sure. Well, we're going to have a guest in a few minutes. She's going to be coming on about 10 after, and that's Susan from BizSavvyTherapist.com. She's going to talk with us about our topic for the day, which is, helping professionals. Because sometimes, and this could be anything from just giving basic advice to helping people in crisis sort of things, but, us helpers sometimes have trouble, admitting that sometimes we need help, don't we?
Yeah, I think we tend to think we're the experts.
Yeah. Well, and, even experts need help every once in a while with something, So that's, I think it's going to be an interesting topic. I'm really excited to have Susan on. Met her over Third Tribe, and we've been looking for ways to maybe do stuff together. And I actually had a different guest kind of lined up for today, but he had to back out last minute. And so Susan's been very gracious, agreeing to come on short notice and kind of help us out. And I think it's going to be a good thing. Well, let's start. then, since she'll be about 5 more minutes, I wanted to cover some stuff that I thought was interesting and see what you guys think interesting out there in the world this week. And there were two things I guess I wanted to mention that I saw this morning on the internet. The first is that our my friends Ray Funko and Ed Cabellan are going to be getting together for a Ustream conversation on July 12th about Ray's research on social media and college students. And actually, Ray was my tentative guest for today, so I guess Ed scooped me again, but that's okay. We're all buddies. We're all friends. And so we're going to have Ray on here in a couple weeks to talk about, you know, social media innovation, what he does to, like, as an educator to utilize social media. So that should be really interesting. Of course, he's a huge expert. He wrote that Connecting to the .NET Generation book, and everyone really seems to connect with that, which is great. Excited about seeing that. That'll be on July 12th, 4 to 5 Eastern on Ustream, and you can get more information on that on Ed Cabellan's blog. Mickey, you have anything interesting out there in the world of higher ed that you like to mention?
Well,
or
you know,
the world in general.
The world in general. To be completely honest, I have really been kind of swallowed up in getting to know my new job, and so I haven't really been spending a lot of time doing the reading and following things on Twitter and all that sort of stuff as I'd really like to, because I'm just really kind of dove headfirst into the new job and pretty exhausted when I'm not at work. So, you know, I participated in my first essay chat the other day, which was exciting. I have been following a lot of the student affairs blog folks and all the conversations and kind of the big players out there, figured at some point I need to dive in the pool and be a lurker and kind of see what everybody else has to say. The conversation yesterday was about more or less about student affairs professionals. What responsibility areas do we have in terms of responding to current events and kind of transferring that over into the work that we do? Some people kind of talked a little bit about kind of budgetary stuff and changes. Certainly that's a big topic at a lot of schools right now, is kind of, especially at state schools, is kind of what's been mandated and changed and all that. But there was a little bit of conversation. I was hoping there was going to be more, but about everything going on out in Arizona and kind of what are our obligations as professionals, but also how do you balance your personal perspective on things when you're interacting with students, and more or less what is our role when it comes to being an agent of the state, being an agent of the university, while also, you know, respecting our own personal beliefs and stuff. So it was an interesting conversation. I was glad I wouldn't say I participated. I would say I was more of a lurker. But that's kind of all I have in the world right now, because I'm just really kind of focusing on memorizing that new job description and hopping in head first. So.
Well, sometimes lurking is a good way to get started. And, you know, our friend on Twitter, Cindy Kane, says it really well, you know, about the student affairs chat in particular. Lurking is learning, you know. You're peeking
Absolutely.
Over the shoulders of people having great conversations. There's nothing wrong with that. I think
right.
That's great. And I'm glad to see you're getting more involved in Twitter. You blame me, right?
I blame you. I blame my best friend is a real Twitter person. You know, a couple of months ago, I was that person who was saying, what's the difference between Facebook and Twitter? I don't really understand. And I just said to my new supervisor the other day about, you know, kind of sharing my love for Twitter of I'm ready to declare Facebook bankruptcy if it wasn't for the fact that students use Facebook, you know, almost 100% of the time, and it seems to me to be about 10% of the time for Twitter that students are on there. If it weren't for that, I think that I'd hop off Facebook altogether, because I just find for me personally, the connections that I'm making, the information sharing and gathering is just fantastic. I love it.
Great. Well, how about you, Dennis? What all do you find interesting out there in the world this week?
My major source of information tends to come from my wife. She's very, we're having five kids. She's kind of like, keeps a finger on the pulse with regards to higher education. And she sent me this great article from Yahoo, which I think was reprinted from Business Week, which really is centered around the question of what's the financial benefit of college? And this story, I think it was out about 2 days ago, talks about various studies that have been done. Putting a financial value on students that have been to college and what's their advantage over a lifetime. And some of the figures that some of these studies have shown have been between about $400,000 lifetime earnings up to $1.6 million, which is a huge difference. So it's really interesting to see these conversations happening. And last week I got to see Seth Godin. I'm sure you're familiar with Seth Godin, Sean. He came up to Boston and did a really nice presentation talking about his new book, Lynchpin, and going into a discussion. And a lot of it was centered around education and higher education in particular. And it was interesting to hear Seth's views about higher education. And he's saying he thinks there's going to be some sort of shift in the next 5 to 10 years where a lot of the learning is going to start coming away from the institutions and going online a little more. So getting back to Mickey's point there, I think there are going to be some changes going forward. So it's a really interesting article. It's definitely worth checking out, both, I think, for students, prospective students, and parents.
That's great. And yeah, Seth Godin, he's really an amazing and interesting person. That Lynchpin book is on my list of things to read once I get through with. I've got two that I'm kind of diving into now, Me 2.0 by Dan Schaubel and Trust Agents by Chris Brogren and Julian Smith. Once I get through those, I think Lynchpin's next on the list.
Well, yeah, Trust Agents, I love, absolutely love that. Really eye-opening with regard to what's happening, not just in the world of social media, but I think also in the world of business as we're moving forward. And I think Julian and Chris are really on the cutting edge of what's happening there.
I think that social media, you know, is kind of, you know, it's created a more collaborative learning environment that, you know, the classroom walls, you know, it's just shown that learning can happen anywhere, you know,
Absolutely.
If you're connecting the right people around ideas and they're having good conversations. So I think social media is really kind of breaking down the wall between, formal education and everyday education. And it's also breaking down the wall between business and education, too, because businesses, educators are learning that they have to compete not just with other universities, but with other alternatives besides universities where people can go and learn. And so that's going to happen even more. Well, it looks like we have patiently waiting on the line. Susan is going to be joining us. So I think we'll come back to these other conversations in a little bit, but that's great stuff. So maybe we'll get back to some of that later. And, again, I'm going to get Susan on the line, and we'll say hi. Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Hi, Sean. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your patience waiting while we were a couple.
No problem. Interesting conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad to have you on here, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been avoiding saying your last name.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a hard G or a soft G. Tell us your last name, Susan.
It's Gerleo.
Gerleo.
Yes.
Well, I was kind of going with the J sound in my head, but I would have gotten it wrong. So thanks for, hopefully you're good humored about that.
Yes, I am. I know it's a difficult name. It's fine.
Sean, one time on Third Tribe Conversation, I think Brian Clark, on a question and answer, called Susan Squirrelio or something like that. So I think he's done a much better job than Brian Clark did for that.
And Chris Brogan refers to me as Squirrel Girl. So
there you go.
Oh, I have many names, and that's okay. As long as People know who I am. I'm happy.
There you go.
Hey, Susan, how are you doing?
Good, Dennis. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah.
Congratulations on Xander.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a little sweetheart. He's sleeping pretty well, and he's quite bright and alert, and so he's doing well. Mom's doing well, so
awesome.
Thank you very much.
We want to see pictures. Dennis and I know each other. We've met several times in Boston for Third Tribe, so we want pictures, Dennis.
Okay, next meeting I will bring them. I guarantee
okay.
it.
Well, that's great. You know, I think it's really awesome. You know, I'm kind of crossing the beams here between my two communities of influence. You know, Student Affairs has this chat community that kind of revolves around the Student Affairs Collaborative blog and a weekly hashtag chat called SA Chat for Student Affairs Chat every week. And that's where I've been really connecting. And, you know, I started blogging for them a little. Maybe, I don't know how long ago, a year and a half, something like that, kind of got me into this whole community and more connected on social media. And then, of course, recently I joined Third Tribe, and, it's kind of addictive.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I just find the conversations are so interesting there and really push the envelope, really get me excited about talking to different people about different things. And so I'm glad to connect with you finally, Susan. We've been talking back and forth about how we could help each other out. So you're helping me out in a pinch here.
Great.
Too, because
I'm happy to do it.
Let's talk a little bit about your businesses. Of course, you're a practicing therapist, and you work mostly with children.
Right.
Right. Okay, but then in your, maybe not a sideline, your additional line of work, you have this site, Biz Savvy Therapist.
Correct.
I know what it's about, but let's tell our listeners.
Sure, yeah, the Biz Savvy Therapist actually was born about a year ago when I sort of hit upon using social media and blogging to market my private practice. And what I found was it was an amazingly powerful way to connect with people not just in my community but really all over the world to help educate them about I actually work exclusively with kids and teens and families who live with attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, and autism. So I used sort of the internet and social media to really educate and inform, and for those of us that are in the Third Tribe, basically it was a content marketing approach to marketing a private practice and a coaching business, which was amazing. I mean, my practice is always full, and I always have clients calling me, and I actually spoke to a family a few weeks ago from India who was interested in some coaching around helping their child. So, you know, it's hugely powerful, and I wanted to kind of share this way of doing business with my colleagues in mental health. And so I've started that business, which is bizsavvytherapist.com, and it's primarily a blogging format. I'm basically using the same content marketing format of using frequent blog posts and online video to educate therapists and other healthcare professionals about the internet and how we can use that for two purposes. One certainly is to market our services, but the other really is to educate the public about mental health issues, because I find, and maybe you might see this too, that there's a lot of people out on Twitter and Facebook that have a lot to say about mental health issues, whether it's depression or attention deficit or autism, and a lot of their information is not accurate. And I feel like professionals need to get out into these forums and spread factual, accurate information. And traditionally, as a profession, mental health and healthcare professionals tend to sit on the sidelines and don't adopt these new technologies very quickly. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some are legitimate, some are kind of excuses. But what happens is people who don't have accurate information co-opt the new technology. And so I feel like we really need to push ourselves to be more on the front edge of educating our communities, and then, you know, and then what that ends up doing is making us experts in people's opinions, and then our businesses do better. So it's really a win-win.
Well, I think that's great, and I would say I can really connect with what you're saying about people co-opting the conversation and getting their own angle in. Obviously, we all tend to do it to some degree, but there's some people who really make it into an art form, don't they?
Right. I mean, I think you know, there's you know, we do a lot of research in mental health, and a lot of times there's a lot of folks out there who just are very good marketers, are very passionate about a certain way of looking at an issue, and that's fine. They certainly can have their space to express that, but when, you know, the research and sort of the things that a lot of people have been working on for years to kind of determine how the brain works and how we learn and how we deal with emotions isn't part of that conversation, I think the public is only getting, you know, one angle.
Yeah. So along those lines, so you're getting out there, you're advocating for this new way of getting the information out, getting people more involved in the conversations. You know, you're selling kind of like, not hard selling, but you're kind of selling a new angle, and you're doing this coaching for people. But and you and I have talked about this a little bit. It's hard to get people who help other people for a living to kind of just be interested sometimes, isn't it? Or to accept help and coaching. So what sort of frustrations what sort of perspectives have you gained, you know, on how to pick through that? I mean, how do you think, well, first, why do you think it's so hard to reach other helping professionals?
Well, I think one of the big reasons is because they're helping people. So, you know, they're working, you know, probably 6 to 8 hours a day face-to-face with other people. So they don't really have the time as much to get online and to experiment with a lot of these new interfaces. So, you know, part of it is just part and parcel of the work. You know, even like, people in higher ed are working with students and doing research and, you know, attending meetings. And so there's a lot of, they do a lot of their work face to face. And that I think is the first hurdle. But then beyond that, I think there's a real, wary, at least in mental health, and I don't know about in other professions, but there's a real wariness about confidentiality and privacy, and a real misunderstanding on how, you know, it's very easy to keep certain things confidential in the online space, but it's a real wariness of the new and wanting to kind of stick with what's known and safe.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw a comment in real quick?
Sure.
Hi, Susan. This is Mickey here.
Hi.
Hi. You know, when you asked, Sean, when you asked, you know, kind of what's one of the barriers for helping professionals to be seeking help themselves, I think one of the things that I think about in kind of looking at myself and other colleagues are people like me who educationally come from, I have my bachelor's is in psychology, my master's is a combined degree between counseling and higher education administration, and people who profess themselves to be very good helpers. I really think it's an ego thing that people that are in helping professions have a hard time kind of getting over themselves to say, I am not above needing assistance and needing an objective point of view, because most certainly our colleagues are not objective about our own need for help, our own need for mental wellness, our own need for actually knowing where our skill sets are at in terms of balance. I mean, geez, student affairs, you say balance and time management, and you get these faces and these scoffs and, oh, my gosh, like this is something, the biggest challenge ever. And these are things that I think lead to a lot of mental health. I don't want to use the word breakdowns because that sounds really dramatic, but a lot of mental health and personal wellness issues. But I think as a group of professionals, we just can't get over ourselves, very rarely can get over ourselves enough to say, as a helper, I need help too. And it's very funny to me because I think about my educational background, and a big part of that was if you're going to go into this field, you need to experience the services yourself. You know, you need to go through counseling. You need to be both in the therapist seat as well as in the hot seat. But that connect and that kind of getting over yourself thing, I when I look at myself and my colleagues, I don't see that as much in our field. So I just want to throw that out there.
Sure. I mean, I think a big part of it is fear, to be honest. A fear of change, fear of what's different. And when you think about higher ed, I mean, I have my PhD. I was in higher ed for a long time. And it's a very hierarchical training model. So basically, the people at the top say, don't engage in whatever, this new approach or these new ways of doing things, then the people, you know, kind of on their way up, don't. So, you know, I've tried to work with graduate programs to get in and speak to students about, you know, the social media and community education as well as business development, and I can't get in the door. They just look at me and they go, no, we're not interested in that. And these people are typically older, in their 50s and 60s, and we know that that cohort in general is not plugged in, although my 65-year-old father is trying to figure out how to develop an online business. But a lot of people are not in that cohort. So a lot of doors are slammed in my face, primarily because people don't know, don't get it, and don't see the benefit. Well, meanwhile, I'm reading research that's saying that 60% of Americans are searching for healthcare information online. 35% of Americans are searching specifically for mental health information online. So really, as sort of a profession, we're kind of leaving out almost two-thirds of the population if we're not in that online space. And that's a shame in two ways. One, again, people aren't getting accurate healthcare information, and two, you know, from a business development standpoint, you're losing a lot of business to people that are out there who are using these interfaces. So it's definitely frustrating for me, but I feel like someone has to keep going and sort of pushing this agenda, because eventually I think there's going to be a tipping point where people are going to realize, like, you know, why are things slowing down? Why are professionals getting less notice and less business and less PR, and it's because we're not, you know, where the rest of the world is.
Sure.
I'd like to hear what perspective from Dennis. I feel like we're leaving him out. So what do you think? What do you think, Dennis? How, you know, what do you think about this? How can we, I guess, help others or actually be more open ourselves to being helped as coaches, as educators, as helping professionals?
Sure. Well, I'm definitely not feeling left out. I think it's a really interesting, fascinating, and also a very vital conversation. I fully agree with what Susan's saying. I think there comes a time where if you want to help others, you really need to step up and look for the help yourself. And if Susan doesn't mind, I'm going to use her as an example. I've known Susan a few months now, and one of the things she's great at, really good, is just breaking down things that seem really insurmountable with regards to marketing for people in the helping profession. And she has this wonderful resource, her email list, and she sends out these emails and these free videos in, and these tips and pointers. It's just fantastic stuff. And Susan, I got a shameless plug, but how could somebody sign up for that?
Oh, on my website, they can sign up for email updates, or they can sign up for, I have a free report that they can sign up for. So that's how you get on that list. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Susan. I think the larger point is, myself, if I'm going to see somebody and I'm getting into a conversation, whether it's a chiropractor or even a doctor or a dentist, somebody in what could broadly be called the helping professions, I'll somehow get into a conversation and ask them what they're doing to educate themselves. Do they see life as being, education as being something that's lifelong? What courses have they gone to? Who are they studying with? conferences are they showing up at? I think it's really, really essential that if we're going to be in the helping profession, that we're open and we're able to reach out for some help. And personally, in my life, I really don't use a helping professional that's not getting some input from somewhere else. As far as the question you asked, Sean, about how does somebody reach out and be open, I guess they just have to understand that, as Susan was saying there, that they're going to fall back and they're going to fall behind if they don't step up. And there's definitely a real groundswell happening with social media. And to me, a lot of the professionals I know are kind of like ostriches in the sand. They're just hoping that things are going to stay the way that they are. But there's this big shift and big change happening. And I really think that we need to get, if we're going to, the helping professions are going to be taken seriously, they really need to step up, get in the game, and become part of what's going on. So that's where I stand on it, Sean.
Well, thanks. So, Susan, you offer people help and advice on marketing themselves, and Dennis mentioned, of course, your email list and your website, which are great. What sort of advice, what do you think is the best piece of advice that you could give to people that are trying to either market themselves as a business thing or maybe make themselves available as a resource, in a professional network or community? How can they get the word out to kind of offer their help to others?
The number one thing I think every professional should have is a blog. A professional blog, not a, this is what I ate for lunch blog. Because, one, it's basically free to set up. Two, you have total control over the message that you send within that. And three, there's a million ways to promote that, again, for free, via social media. So I really encourage all helping professionals or even professionals that may be in, working in a university or a clinic somewhere to have their own personal professional blog where they can talk about the things that they're passionate about on a professional level and put their spin on it. Because I think what we're moving into a marketing environment and even a work environment where what makes you unique is what people are going to be essentially hiring or buying or investing in, not necessarily in the degree or the letters after your name, because we've got a lot of people with degrees and letters after their name, so everyone kind of blends together. But when you have a blog, you're able to sort of take a specific idea or concept and say, well, these are the facts about this, and this is what I think about it. This is my opinion, and this is how I can help you if you want to learn more about it. So it really is a great way to market yourself and your services, and it's basically no cost as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It helps you kind of find your voice.
Mm-hmm.
To regularly, put your thoughts out there and to engage in a conversation. I think that, I talk about this a lot. We the era of one-way publishing of a message is so far over. That ship sailed. It's done. We're in the area of conversation marketing, where your ideas develop and evolve through your interactions with other people who are interested. And if you're going to have a good conversation, you need to be present. You need to engage. You need to listen. You need to take criticism, and you need to let your ideas evolve. And so that's hard because, some of us get in our own model of, this is the way I like to approach my administrative tasks. This is the way I like to counsel people. This is the way I like to coach people. And then you meet someone, and it doesn't work for them. But if you have a relationship that's already evolving in a good way, you want to find a way to continue that. So what do you think about that?
Are you asking me?
Anybody.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I think if you read Seth Godin's Linchpin that you were all talking about earlier, he talks about exactly that, that people who are linchpins or people who are, you know, indispensable, I think is the word he uses, are people that stick their neck out. But we find that those people who do that are the ones that get the most attention and essentially get the most business or the most opportunities. Trust Agents by Chris Brogan is about that as well. You know, and if you look at the people who have made a difference in our culture in any profession, they've all been outliers. I mean, they've all been people that have taken a risk and put their ideas out there and occasionally were thought of as, you know, loony at the time. But we've become sort of, we've moved, it's so easy now to have, you know, your own radio show, you know, like we're on right now. It's so easy now to broadcast who you are, your ideas, and to engage in that conversation that people who aren't in that space are really not, they're non-existent. Like you said, that whole print broadcast advertising is, you know, it's done, especially when you're, the way I think about this is, there was a recent study that just came out from the Kaiser Family Institute that said kids between the age of 8 and 18 spend over 10 hours a day plugged in. And that's because they're multitasking on, you know, Facebook and their texts and all this. And that's your new generation of students, you know, and anything. They're the next generation of consumers. Mm-hmm. So I think yeah, you need to be online. You need to be ready to converse because that generation of consumers, that's what they're used to.
Dennis, Mickey, what do you think?
I agree fully with that. Okay, go ahead, Nikki, you go ahead. I just spoke.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree entirely. You know, when thinking about the work that I do at universities and stuff, and, you know, Susan, you made the comment before about kind of the top-down, if we don't buy in, you know, to a certain concept from the top, it's not going to make its way trickle-down, it's not going to make its way down to the frontline staff and all that kind of thing. You know, I think where life is at in the university student affairs world right now, it really is like on this cusp of either you're going to be in the boat or you're going to be stuck on the island. And, you know, to use Sean's phrase, you know, the ship is sailing pretty soon here. So, like, you better get on the boat or, you know, there's not any water on your island anymore. So it's kind of cool to be watching, and I, you know, I'm a cusper. I'm on the cusp of the millennial group, and so sometimes there are some things, even as a professional, that I'm like, yep, you know, this is where that generation is at, and I can definitely see that. And then I also kind of look at the next generation, and, you know, I'm a little resistant to all this sort of stuff because is it really the best thing to be, you know, plugged in all the time and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when I look at things like over the summertime here, all the universities are doing their new orientation programs and welcoming their new students to campus and stuff. And I think about how are we reaching those students and engaging with them in multiple different formats other than just the sit down in this room and we're going to talk to you about student activities or we're going to talk to you about how to register for a class or whatever it might be, you know, how are we hitting that in multiple different ways? Because even, you know, I went through earlier this week, you know, we had new student orientation on campus and I decided, well, I'm going to go through it since I'm a new employee at the university. I'm going to go through it because that's not too far off from being a freshman. Like, I want to hear the messages that the students are hearing, you know, so that I know what it's like. And all I kept thinking was, this is a lot different than when I went through new student orientation 11 years ago. You know, this is every department, every presentation was, you know, find us on Facebook and, you know, use our fan page and all that. We send out a ton of information and, you know, we want to engage with you that way. We take a bunch of pictures, blah, blah, blah. And I was just thinking, you know, this not only did Facebook not exist, but nobody was even thinking of stuff like that. I mean, it was revolutionary to have an email list serve at that point, you know. And so it really is kind of one of those, jump in the boat sort of time frames. But how do you do that when, you know, Susan, you mentioned before, when the door is getting closed in your face, how do you do that when, you know, your place isn't on board? And I feel like where I'm working at, everybody's on board and is really kind of going forward with that. But what do you do? You know, what do you do when you're in that place of this isn't how we're going to do business or this isn't how we do business? So
We talked about that a little bit last week. I talked with Jeff Jackson about that from Break Drink. We talked about innovation in student affairs and higher ed, ways to support it. And, you know, I think where universities are having trouble because, again, everybody always knows that universities are 10 to 12 years behind the curve anyway. And it's like being, you know, it's like being IBM in today's world of the iPad. They're irrelevant. You know, they're like, it's not where people are. And what universities struggle with the most, I think, is that the locus of control has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? People work so hard on things like controlling their message, you know, and that's image management. Okay? It's a one-way conversation, but we've emerged into an era of what everybody's talking about, authentic branding, which is basically being yourself, engaging in conversations, being honest and, you know, who you are. But to do that effectively, you have to engage in the conversation, you know. Mm-hmm. Take a look at if you're not engaging well in the conversation about your brand, you're going to accidentally trash it. And you're going to have, I mean, like, take a look at BP and the fat fiasco they're going through. Now, let's not, I mean, where they started, obviously that's a big problem. I mean, you can't just spill millions of gallons of oil in the water and ruin everybody's beaches and seafood and, you know, a lot of the water without having a problem. But, you know, how the CEO was managing the conversation, boy, he really screwed that up. And you see other people coming by and setting up, like, the fake BP PR account on Twitter where they're just mocking them ceaselessly. You know, you can't control that anymore. So if you're, and you can't ignore it. It's like, you know, if you're not part of the conversation, you're going to get swamped. Like, taking a look at political history, John Kerry wouldn't talk about the Swift voters. Well, that didn't help him because the side that kept talking kind of kept putting it out there. You know what I mean? So.
Sure, and I'm with you on that. I think it's where we're at is a two-way conversation, and I think that can only be a good thing, if not a great thing. I was listening to Daniel Pink talking to Oprah Winfrey on a podcast recently, and he was talking about his new book, Drive, and somewhere in the book he has an exercise where he says, what I want you to do is to think about your life when you're 90 years old and what you want to have accomplished and all of those things. It's part of a creativity exercise. So he wrote this, and then he receives an email from a woman. Because now he's published his email address within the book, and he started the conversation, and he started the dialogue. And the woman says, Mr. Pink, I love your book, but I take exception with that, because I take exception with the exercise about imagining being 90 years old, because I'm 91. And what Daniel Pink says there is, we as authors, those that are putting out information, start the conversation, but we definitely don't end the conversation. And I think we definitely have moved into a world where the conversation goes two ways all of the time.
Well, I think that's great. And, you know, it brings up another issue for us. Susan's going to need to be with us. I think you have a 12 o'clock.
Right, I do, yeah.
So we're at about a quarter till. I told Susan we try to get her out of here around 10 till or so. So speaking of two-way conversations, it's time to play my ad and then see if we have any callers. So if you have any comments or questions on the topic of helping other helping professionals or any of the other things we've been talking about today, you know, engaging in social media, effectively marketing yourself when you're a helping professional, please call in. Our number is 347-989-0055, or you can use the Skype click to talk button from our episode page. So again, 347-989-0055. You're listening to the Higher Ed Career Coach Show on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you someone who's still working to discover your life purpose? Do you long to create a career you'll absolutely love? Before you can do this, you have to understand your talents and skills. Explore the options in front of you. Understand what's blocking you practically and emotionally. And make a strategic plan. My name is Sean Cook, and I'm a certified life and career coach through the Life Purpose Institute. As a coach, I can help you explore your talents, interests, skills, and abilities, and research options that provide a good match for those things which make you uniquely you. If you're interested in exploring what coaching can do for you, please contact me at sean@higheredcareercoach.com or give me a call at 706-363-0539.
Okay, and we're back. So thanks for your indulgence in listening to my advertising. Always got to try to get some business, right? So right now we don't have any callers, but I'm sure that some will call in because, as usual, some people kind of, we know you're out there. You're just being shy. So we've got about four more minutes or so that we will have Susan with us, and then we'll kind of move on to other things. But while we're waiting for a caller, or not, do you have any great examples of any of us have great examples of times when you either struggled to help another colleague, and maybe it worked well, or maybe it was a disaster and you'd love feedback? Does anyone have a great example?
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned before in the student affairs world of, you know, people who are dealing with crises, student crises all the time, you know, the internalization of what happened in that process, whether it be working with a student through a suicidal issue or whatever it might be. Yeah, I think one of the real gaps, and I hesitate to give a specific example about this just because this is a public, you know, broadcast and stuff, you know, but I think there are so many professionals out there that are in need of, and I don't know if this is a supervision issue or a recognition of just needing to get support. We are so attentive to our student staff and those below us and the students around us of, you know, are you okay? What was that like for you to work with that student and da-da-da-da? And oftentimes, I think, we don't get that. We might have a sit-down conversation with our supervisor of, okay, what kind of things are we doing to support this student, or what kind of net did we create around this student, what sort of services are they getting, blah, blah, blah. But very rarely do I think there is a conversation about how do you feel about being in a role where multiple times a semester you are faced with students that are trying to end their lives or students that are overdosing on drugs or parents who, you know, who are doing this, that, and the other thing, stalking issues, relationship violence, whatever it might be. And so there's this real gap, even though, you know, universities have EAP programs and, for the most part, we are blessed with good insurance programs where we can seek services. Talk about an underutilized resource. And I just don't know, you know, how do you change that culture? How do you get people, you know, the title of this show, you know, Heal Thyself. How do you get people to recognize their need for healing and not just say, well, that's part of the job?
Well, I think I mean, I think that I think that's just in people in general, and I don't think that's just people in who are helping professionals. I think it's very difficult for people to, one, identify that they need support, and then, two, to actually reach out for it. And those are really two separate processes that happen for folks. And it's a big deal to make that call for people. And I think, again, it goes back to education and also destigmatizing. Destigmatizing that it's okay to get help. And that's one of the things I really struggle with around this whole, you know, confidentiality issue. I mean, clearly you want to keep people's information confidential, but on the other side of that coin, by always putting that up in front of us, we're basically saying there's something to be ashamed of. And, you know, if somebody self-discloses to me on Twitter or Facebook that they need help, I mean, certainly I'm going to want to protect them from, you know, a lot of people seeing that. But on the other hand, I say good for them. You know, that they are identifying that they need help, and we can find a way to continue that conversation, you know, back channel. So, yeah, I think we need to do a lot of work around making it part of being healthy in general, and not just, you know, we do a lot of, we try to do preventative care for, like, physical health, and I think there needs to be a lot of more preventative care for mental health, and really educating folks around the fact that if you're not sleeping well at night, or if your eating pattern is changing, if you're gaining weight or losing weight or having trouble with relationships, that those are all signs that it might be time to check in with yourself, and then to check in maybe with a professional who can help you kind of feel better.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think there's a great need, in my observation, there's a great need for a culture shift to occur in our specific field of, you know, I mentioned before how people kind of laugh and scoff at the idea of personal wellness and balance and being healthy. And it's like, why is this a joke? You know, like, why do people think that this is an unattainable joke? Because all that does is that continues to contribute to our attrition and dropout and burnout rates in our field. So that's why, I mean, I don't want to pass the buck or anything because I'm a supervisor myself, but I just think, is it a supervision issue? Is it a university culture issue? I just don't know.
Well, I kind of have a couple thoughts on that, but I don't want to trap Susan because I know you have an appointment. So I want to thank you for coming on the show today and being such a great help. I think, obviously, it's a wonderful topic. We're going to keep talking about it for a few minutes. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
And everyone who has been listening, I'm sure you found it really interesting. Go out and check out bizsavvytherapist.com and, you know, sign up for her email list. Get some of that free advice that she's giving out because, as you can probably tell, it's worth a lot more than that. Thanks again.
Thanks,
Sean.
Yes.
Bye, Dennis. Bye, Mickey.
Yeah, bye, Susan. I'll connect with you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Enjoy your week. Fourth of July weekend.
Well, great. Back to your question about normalizing things, Mickey. I think, you know, and supervision, you know, I was a supervisor for entry-level staff, you know, for a long time, you know, and those live-in staff, that's high burnout. You're on duty a lot. You get to see, you know, in person the front end of some of those bad things, the suicidal behavior attempts and things like that. You're dealing with it, you know, one-to-one. You know, people don't think about that, and it's a hard burden, and especially when you're young and new in the field, you don't want to be seen as someone who can't hack it. You
right.
know what I mean? And
right.
So,
yeah. Again,
so, yeah.
Get over your ego.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the best ways I think you can normalize it is to be a role model yourself. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think this is where the confidentiality issue gets easier. You don't want to say anything about other people, but you can always share your own personal situations. You know, as a supervisor, I did that many times. And I'll just say here, you know, as far as being an example and normalizing it, Penn State, you mentioned EAP programs, employee assistance programs. Mm-hmm. That's great because you can talk to a counselor, you know, for free, basically, for a certain number of sessions, and depending on your plan and the school, that varies. But, you know, I'm proud to say I used that program several times during my time at Penn State because I needed to.
Right.
You know, and I also encouraged quite a few of my colleagues and my supervisees to use it as well. In particular, I had a situation where a student did complete a suicide attempt when me and my staff were trying to reach out to her. She unfortunately passed away. And, you know, anybody's going to be affected by that.
Absolutely. Anyway.
And, you know, also, even if it's not something that dramatic, you know, sometimes dealing with day in, day out, the pressures of solving other people's problems can be kind of like what they used to call Chinese water torture, where they just put you, you know, let water drip on your head until you can't stand it anymore, right?
Right.
You know, you have to be strong enough to say, okay, I'm going to be a good example. I'm going to check out for a while because it's the healthy thing to do. And you have to be open to hearing it. And I think that's the problem, you know, part of the problem that we've been discussing today is how to get over yourself.
Right.
And once you get over yourself, one of the best things you can do is help people get over themselves. And so be the change you want to see, right?
Right.
Yeah, I fully agree with that one, Sean. One little analogy I always love is that I fly quite a lot for work, and I'm on the airplane, and they're doing the safety announcement, and they always say when the oxygen masks come down, put your one on first, take care of yourself, then you're able to help others, even if you have children with you. So, and that's just a great analogy. Do what you can to help yourself, and then you're going to be much more potent and much more powerful in your help of others. So, Sean, unfortunately, I've got to go as well. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Wonderful. Great to have you again. We'll see you on the internet.
Yeah, great show. Thanks ever so much, Mickey. Great to talk with you again. And hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Okay?
Take it easy.
Wonderful.
All right. Have a good one, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was Dennis Charles from the Fourth Wave Institute, my friend from Third Tribe. And, again, wonderful to have you on the show. And good luck to Dennis and his new addition and his, you know, his wonderful family. That's just awesome. That is just so awesome. What a great guy. So, Mickey, we have a few. Let's just, I guess, start winding down. Is that cool?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, any final thoughts or takeaways that you have, you know, from our conversations today about, you know, especially since it's just you and me now, we're both higher ed student affairs types.
Yeah.
What should we be putting out there? What should we be saying?
Well, you know, like I said before, educationally I come from that place of counseling background and psychological background, and going into student affairs was kind of a turn off the main road for me. But, you know, I wish and I hope and I believe that part of my role as a supervisor and as a colleague, and I hope other people look at it this way too, is it's not just my job to recognize, help, assist, whatever word you want to use, students with their own wellness issues. It's my responsibility to help those people around me too. And I just really think that the need for self-recognition of helping services is still high. I think counseling is still stigmatized big time. I think people are concerned about, especially in higher ed, I think people are very concerned about other people in my division or my department knowing that I'm getting services. And, you know, I look at it as part of my role is to make sure that people know what's out there and utilize that service. You know, I'm with you. I utilize EAP, you know, at a number of institutions that I've been at because, you know, people look at, you know, counseling means you're in crisis. Not necessarily, you know. It means you're interested in your own wellness. And I think the further along I get as a professional, and part of this, too, I think, is the older I'm getting, is the less I'm interested in the all-night bender work, you know, I'm at work, and then I come home, and I'm on my email, and I'm doing this, and I'm calling that, and I'm going to this program, the less I'm interested in doing that type of stuff, the more I'm interested in looking at my professional role is one slice of the pie, and there are other slices of the pie, and that is, you know, my relationship with my partner, my love for the outdoors, my family and friends, whatever it might be. But it's just not the culture, especially with entry-level staff, especially with student staff. There is that desire to, I want you to know that I can cut it and I can do it. And my perspective as a supervisor is, I think you cut it better when you have some wellness and some personal balance in your life. And part of that is reaching out and saying, I need help. You know, I need to take a break. I need to have a personal wellness day. So I guess if I had a takeaway or a charge to our listeners out there, would be to be intentional about what your wellness looks like, because that's different for everybody, and to not be afraid to claim that and own that. You know, I just finished my second week of my new job, and I'm already putting out my values, my professional values and skills, but I'm also putting myself out there as a person so that my supervisor, as well as the staff I'm going to be supervising, know who they're getting, you know, that I'm a full package. I'm not just here to be the assistant director of residence life. There are other components to the package that, you know, are there too. So I charge people to own your personal wellness and own your need for help and go with it and not be afraid of that process, because in the end, that makes you a better professional. It also makes you a better person. So that would be my two cents, lengthened.
I think that's great. I think that's awesome. You know, my thought is, we talked a lot about being authentic, being present, being part of the conversation. And so I guess my takeaway is there needs to be a conversation, and it needs to be okay to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you can do to normalize this talk about helping others, about helping yourself, about it being okay to have challenges, especially, you know, we deal with people and problems all day long. That's what people
right.
in student affairs do. And, you know, it's a little different than when you're on the faculty side. I mean, not that they don't, because they certainly do. But,
yep.
you know, when you've got you know, the student that they see for an hour or two every week, maybe 3 hours a week, and you've got them for the other 20-something hours a day that they're
mm-hmm.
around, and you know them as a person, full circle, they're like, they're, you know, good, bad, and ugly of their life and what they've gone through, you know, that can be wonderful because you really get to know the students, but it can also be taxing. As you get to know their problems. So,
absolutely.
So you got to take care of yourself, and you've got to make it okay to have that conversation. Like the title said, healer, heal thyself, right?
Absolutely.
Be the example first, and then you'll be able to really help others, like the oxygen mask and the plane going down like this.
Totally, yep.
Well, great. Well, I would like to wrap up maybe just mentioning some things that are coming up in the next week or in a couple of weeks. Now, you had a great idea, and we just need to figure out when we need to do it because of your availability. But
sure.
We talked about, you know, one of the topics we threw around for today was new people, new jobs, new year sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you and some of our other friends here on out in the Twitterverse, right, and out
right.
in the world, are starting some new jobs, and that idea really appeals to me. So we're going to figure out when you can maybe get with a couple of those people and publish a blog
yeah.
post, or maybe we could do all sorts of random things if you wanted. We could have you guys all call in and have a conversation on my conference call line and record it and edit it, whatever you want to do. But I think that'd be awesome. I also
Absolutely.
Think it'd be awesome. Next time you're available, and it may not be next week, we'll figure that out between the two of us when you're next available at this time or at a good time to do the show, and maybe we'll invite some of those guests to talk about their new jobs, and we'll
yeah.
have people give their tips and tricks for getting started in a new job.
I'd love it.
Sound good?
That would be great. That would be great. I'd love it.
Well, great. Well, thanks again for joining me today, Mickey. I guess I can let you go, or you can stick around, whatever. I have a few more announcements, and then I'll be wrapping up, too.
I will probably head out here. But thank you again for having me on the show. Always a pleasure, Sean.
Thanks, Mickey. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mentioning the weekend, of course, it's July 4th. I bet Mickey's going fishing because, you know, she likes to go fishing. If you're not, Mickey, think about it because I bet it's going to be a great weekend for it. I need some fishing lessons, too, so maybe I can get Mickey to give me some sometime or some tips and tricks on fishing. That'd be a good guest post for my blog, too. Okay, some other things that I just wanted to mention, going on out in the world, and I think worth taking a look at. I got some tweets today, a really interesting tweet today from Stacy Oliver about a college in Colorado, Dana College, is closing its doors. And that was a really interesting article to me because I did work at a financially troubled institution, not Penn State, another one, that was actually considering doing so and had a sister school that had closed a few years prior. So I've seen firsthand what some of those difficulties can do to students. I think what was unique in the story about Dana College is that they were moving forward in a way that really people didn't expect the college to close, and now all of a sudden it's closing. So take a look at that article. It's Dana College in Colorado. And I retweeted it, so check my Twitter stream, High Ed Career Coach, or Stacy L. Oliver's. That's her username, Stacy Oliver's username. Check that out. Read that. That was a very enlightening story. I also mentioned an upcoming Ustream conversation between Ray Junco and Ed Cabellon on July 12th, 4 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. And that ought to be a really great conversation between two of my friends and basically social media superstars in higher ed. Ray and Ed are really out there doing great things, and I haven't been able to watch any of Ed's Ustreams, but everyone keeps telling me they're great, and I am going to make some time to sit down and watch them all very soon. Other than that, I just wanted to mention a great tool that I found online. It's called GIST, G-I-S-T. It's a new sort of thing that you can log into, and it will basically aggregate a lot of your information and give you the gist of your emails and your tweets for the day and some of your other connections. It's also great because it can show you your inbox, it can show you your schedule, and if you have a meeting on the schedule with somebody, it actually aggregates information about them that you can find out more about them, make sure that you're ready for the conversation, know what they're all about. It's a strange, interesting, powerful, and maybe slightly worrisome tool, but I started using it, and I think it's just great. So check it out. It's called GIST, and G-I-S-T. Just look it up on the internet, and I will probably be posting a link soon to their page. I'm going to be doing an article soon about some tools that I like to use to manage my time and productivity and really to manage my social media engagement. So GIST, G-I-S-T, check it out. Wanted to mention, too, that I was very lucky. I've entered the world of beer bloggerdom thanks to another Third Triber, Billy Broas from BillyBrew.com. He was moving to Denver this last week and let me do a guest post, so go on over there. I guess it's going to be a series now on places where everybody knows your name, and I put out a tribute to my favorite little brew pub, well, not brew pub, my favorite little watering hole in Clemson, South Carolina, where I grew up and where I went to school. It's Nick's Tavern and Deli on Sloan Street in downtown Clemson, owned by Ken and Esther Revis Wagner, who are just two great people. Nick's is a wonderful little place where people do get to know you. Good beer, good food, good conversation. So next time you're in Clemson, head on down to Sloan Street and go see Ken and Esther. Tell them Sean sent you. And if you can't get there, check out my post on billybrew.com. If you're a beer enthusiast, it's really a neat little site, and I will likely be contributing some more guest posts to that site soon, especially since Billy's kind of transitioning and moving, and I like to write, and I like beer. So there's that. I want to mention, too, that as part of my 8 weeks to August career coaching program, we're really kind of in the thick of that. I've been doing a lot of the one-on-one coaching part of that and developing some content online that, you know, and activities that people are participating in. And I am going to be adding on to that course a couple of teleseminar sort of events that I'm going to be using a tool called Sklepo. It's very much an interface that's somewhat like a Macromedia Breeze, Adobe Connect sort of environment where you have a little web classroom. It's kind of teleseminar, but more of a classroom controlled. You can actually interact between the teachers and class sort of environment. So I'm going to be doing some of those very soon. The first one's likely to be a career kickstart event. I was originally scheduling it for next Monday, but I think maybe I need to give it some more lead time. If you're interested in attending a brief career kickstart event, it's going to be real cheap, $10 or $15. It'll be a 90-minute seminar, and it'll be interactive. I am going to also have some guest seminars coming up as part of that program, but if you're interested in the single topic, there is going to be, you know, single-seat registrations and possibly a teleseminar series registration out shortly. So look for that at higheredcareercoach.com. Again, that's, they'll be very inexpensive and hopefully interactive professional development opportunities geared towards the job seeker or the person who's new in a position. So there's that. I gave out my first Hoodoo Award on my blog last week to breakdrink.com. I'm going to be taking nominations for the July Hoodoo in Higher Education. So look for that poll. Send me some suggestions of people you'd like to see nominate as a Hoodoo. And at the end of the year, I'm going to be giving out an award of some kind for the Hoodoo of the Year, and I've decided to call it the Hoodoo Heisman. That's H-I-G-H-S-M-A-N, so I'm kind of playing on the sports metaphor there. I might even see if I can get a trophy with my mug on it. I'm not sure anybody would want that, but, you know, it's a funny, I think it's funny. So look for that. That's all part of a thing that I'm doing with my rebranding of all three of my sites to kind of have an integrated branding sort of identifier. You may have seen on Higher Ed Career Coach recently my new C logo with a mortarboard. It's kind of very collegiate, coachy. That's the new logo for Cook Consulting and will be used on all of my websites across the board as kind of a visual identifier. So take a look for that. You'll also see soon we're going to be putting in some more sports metaphors just because I think that's fun. I'm going to have a new series premiering next Monday called the Monday Morning Quarterback, and basically there'll be columns written by me about things that I think should be done differently in higher education, so I'm Monday Morning Quarterbacking what's going on in the news, and it'll also probably be one of the things where I invite people to guest post on what they would love to change in higher education. So if you're interested in being a Monday Morning Quarterback, send me an email. Give me a tweet, put a comment on my blog, and I would love to have your thoughts and your participation as a Monday Morning Quarterback. I'll be having a Tuesday timeout series, and that will basically be something hopefully on the lighter side or thought-provoking and different in student affairs. I'm going to continue my regular Follow Friday posts on SeanCook.net, and then rotating regular features you'll probably see once or twice a week. By me and by my guest columnists and my regular stable of writers coming soon. So that's what's going on out in the world of my coaching practice. I hope you'll check it out. We'll try to help people keep their finger on the pulse of higher ed and, you know, really be a part of that conversation a about changing it, moving it forward, that sort of thing. So hopefully that'll be cool and you'll like it. So some final thoughts here on helping other helpers. The first thing, again, be sure that you're helping yourself. Keep yourself balanced. Keep yourself whole. Engage in the conversation. It does kind of take admitting you're powerless at times and just doing things differently, but it is well worth it. If you're at a university that's lucky enough to have an employee assistance program, please take advantage of it. They are great programs, and we should all be considering using them, one, because they're great services, they're already paid for, i.e. you get something for free. Two, it's just good to try to have healthy balance in your life. So with that, I hope people will go out and have a great 4th of July weekend, and that you'll tune in next week. Look for that topic announcement sometime early next week. I'm still lining up guests, but we'll have another show next week, likely at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, depending on our guest availability. And thank you for listening. This has been Sean Cook on the Higher Ed Career Coach Show on blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for listening. Go out there and put your purpose to work in higher education.
My name is Sean Cook. I'm a life and career coach specializing in work with college students and higher ed professionals. Before becoming a certified coach through the Life Purpose Institute, I earned my master's degree from Clemson University and spent 15 years working in student affairs and higher education. On the Higher Ed Life and Career Show, we explore college life issues and professional development concerns for persons working in higher education. Thank you for joining us.